Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to the Morning Hangover Fantasy Football Podcast, brought to you by BackSportsCage.com. This is Mo. I'm coming to you live with my co-host T, and of course, Con. Okay, we're at, what are we, just end week five?
Week six.
I already lost track. We're just end of week five, going into week six. Two teams on a bye this week, New Orleans and Kansas City. So you're not losing much, except for obviously the huge positions at tight end with Jimmy Graham, quarterback with Drew Brees. So, we'll get you covered on that. It's not a huge week. Kansas City, there's not much you have to replace. Obviously, Jamal Charles. So, we'll go over, like I said, we'll talk to you about, we'll preview last week, a review last week, preview the upcoming week. And as we discuss, feel free to call in. We'd love to hear from you. We'll be taking calls at 760-283-0846. Again, that's 760-283-0846. 0846, or you can inbox us on Facebook. All right, we have Texans tonight. Quick injury update. Andre Johnson, who is questionable, will play. Arian Foster, probable, will play. I don't think anyone of significance is going to miss this game. So I think we're at the point. I mean, forget about the injuries and everything else. We'll discuss these things later, of course. Who would you rather have for the rest of the year, Andre Johnson or DeAndre Hopkins?
Hopkins.
Not even close. Yeah, obviously injuries play a role, but he's just been the better receiver anyway. And but now, him and Fitzpatrick are developing rapport of some. You know, let's go to the Houston Dallas game from last week, just so we can, you know, we're already talking about the Texans of Arian Foster, 23 rushes, 157 yards, 2 touchdowns, monster game. Being close to being matched by DeMarco Murray, 136 yards on 31 carries. So these are the two biggest workhorses in the league going up against each other in this game. No wide receiver. I mean, Dez Bryant had a nice game, but the 14 targets, something that stands out. And Terrence Williams, another touchdown. So he has 16 catches a year with 5 touchdowns, which is pretty incredible. So not sustainable. Not going to keep it up all year. Sell high on him as much as I do own him in a lot of leagues and do like him, but you know, his value is probably higher than he's actually worth right now. It's good to see that Romo has been healthy up until this point all year, so definitely something that helps the receivers. Terrence Williams, Dez Bryant as well, both having nice years. And that's pretty much it. Joseph Brandle was the only other running back to carries, just solidifying the fact that he's the clear backup or handcuffed to Marco Murray. If anything were to happen to Marco Murray, I think Joseph Randall becomes a top 20 back, just because I think he's going to end up splitting time with Lance Dunbar. So he's not going to get all of the carries. He's not going to get 31 rushes like DeMarco Murray received in this game. And that's pretty much it from this game. Like I said, anyone, you're obviously starting Arian Foster every week until he inevitably gets hurt once more. It's going to happen throughout the season. Starting Andre Johnson and DeAndre Hopkins. We'll talk more. Well, let's go to...
Yeah, that turned out to be actually a better offense than I thought it would be when based on quarterback play. Let's put it that way.
Fitzpatrick, he's obviously not great. He's not the most talented guy, but went to Harvard. He's smart. He knows how to run an offense.
Makes a lot of bad throws for a guy with the Harvard, though.
But he's that good. I mean, he's a really weak arm, so I guess he knows what he's doing. He's a subpar talent. He's low average talent when it comes to, you look at, it's a bad example, but whatever, Charlie Whitehurst, who starts for the Titans, like, on skill alone, Charlie Whitehurst has a huge arm, big body. Like, you would think he'd be more talented or more successful than Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's just a smarter guy. I mean, and that's, when it comes to the quarterback position, that's the most important. Yeah, I guess that's the visibility, is what I'm trying to say. Mm. We'll go back to What? The nerve? That was the basis of my diet, actually. And we'll go back to the Thursday night game. So the third Thursday, I think the third Thursday in a row, and now Thursday night games haven't been around for too long, but it's the third Thursday in a row where it's the highest scoring Thursday night game of all time.
No. It's like the Bucks Falcons was the biggest blowout.
The biggest blowout.
And then the Giants Redskins was the second biggest blowout. And the Packers Vikings became the biggest
blowouts.
Yeah.
Right. Which is pretty incredible. Especially for all the talk saying that Thursday night games are supposed to not be as high scoring. It's kind of annoying. It gives us nothing to watch after
they've been terrible, yeah.
Well, from fantasy perspective, it depends who you're talking about. I mean, Aaron Rodgers off to a huge start, but he's doing so well that he only throws the ball 17 times. Still had 3 touchdowns, but they pull him, what was it, the third quarter?
No, I think he played 1 drive in the fourth quarter.
And he still only threw the ball 17 times. Teddy Bridgewater was out here, so Christian Ponder was just awful.
Yeah, thank God. I mean, in the league I have Rodgers, I still
it's still
won.
A nice game. It's like he complained, but... And
yeah, but I would have been mad if, you know, I lost that game by 3 points because you got to figure Rodgers is good for 3 points in a quarter, you know?
I'm sure Aaron Rodgers is probably listening right now and he's hoping to make it up for you this week. And Eddie Lacy made it up to all Eddie Lacy owners for his terrible beginning of the season. Only 13 rushes, 105 yards, 2 touchdowns. And, of course, added a few catches as well, so... Eddie Lacy is by far his best game of the season. It is real promising. I felt high on Eddie Lacy, but this just shows the owners that Eddie Lacy is himself and he's going to produce first round value, you know, where you drafted him. Then it's probably not a bad idea to, you know, if you could trade. I don't even know who I would trade him for right now.
I wouldn't sell high on Eddie Lacy. What I would do is definitely I would make sure that you handcuff him with James Starks.
I mean, it depends who you can get for him, I guess.
That's what I'm saying. With out of the running backs out there, like, who do you feel comfortable trading Eddie Lacy for? Like,
yeah, no, I was thinking more
all right, so the number one player is DeMarco Murray, right?
Yeah.
Like, who would you feel comfortable packaging Eddie Lacy for to get DeMarco Murray? You know what I mean?
Like Eddie Lacy for like Le'Veon Bell, which I don't think Le'Veon Bell.
Well, I don't think there's any guarantee that Le'Veon Bell's gonna be better than Eddie Lacy for the rest of the year.
I like him the rest of the year. Yeah, I guess it's just more concerns with especially with injuries.
If I had to choose between Bell and Lacy, I would choose Bell. But what I'm saying is, I don't think it's like it's not like you're you know it's not like in the old days where you had those 3 or 4 guys, you know, Peterson, Charles, McCoy, where they're the best 3 guys in the league by far.
I suppose. Well, obviously, Pierce and McCoy, that's not the case. And for every year, leaving the game early and hurt his fantasy purposes, of course, that affected the receivers as well. No receiver on Green Bay, only a high-volume offense. No one got more than 4 targets. And
that's just a product of not really throwing the ball around, though.
That's what I'm saying. These guys were hurt more than Aaron Rodgers was.
Yeah, I mean, Jordy Nelson, 3 targets, but he made them count. He had 1 for 66 and a touchdown. The thing that I think you can take out of this game is that they still continue to look to Randall Cobb in the red zone. And,
yeah.
Like, you would think he's not your typical red zone target, but they have been throwing to him in the red zone. I'll look it up right now, but how many touchdowns did he have? He has had 5 touchdowns at least, right?
Yeah, like you said, he's their main red zone target.
He has 6 touchdowns, and I don't think any – 6 receiving touchdowns, and I don't think any of them are big plays.
Okay. Yeah, because, I mean, every time we look at the box score, I don't think he's had any big plays at all.
No.
I mean, forget him, never mind touchdowns. But the other thing worth mentioning, obviously, I mean, you're starting the obvious players here. You still want to own Jerick McKinnon. But Matt Asiata did practice in full today, so he's going to be the lead back again, even though despite the fumble. But Jared Boykin's out for a while. He's pretty much the only roadblock. Devontae Adams, the third receiver here. And Adams kind of like Jordy Nelson. I mean, 1 catch for a touchdown. Granted, Jordy Nelson's was 62 yards longer. But still good to see. Rodgers spoke well about him in practice this week.
Didn't he have a touchdown call back, too? Or, like,
I'm not even sure.
Was that 2 weeks ago?
I couldn't even tell you. Oh, that might have been 2 weeks ago. I think that was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Like I said, I mean, they didn't throw the ball enough to anybody in this game, but Davante Adams, I mean, if something were to happen to Randall Cobb or Jordy Nelson, which we've obviously seen before, then Davante Adams is going to be the clear cut. I mean, this is one of the bigger, I guess you could say, handcuff wide receivers.
Yeah, both of whom, like you said, both of whom who are injury prone.
Right. I'm like, I put him in the same position as Kyrie Douglas, where if Roddy were to get hurt again, or even Julio Jones, like two injury prone star receivers. One of them gets hurt, and Harry Douglas became a top 25 wide receiver last year, just sliding into that role. And I think Davante Adams is definitely someone who could take over that.
Would you put Odell Beckham Jr. in that now? That's the last week.
No, because there's not two stars. The Giants players are serviceable, but I don't think. But I'd rather have Davante Adams as a number two receiver in Green Bay than any of the Giants. Besides maybe Victor Cruz, yeah.
What about Reuben Randle?
I'd still rather have Adams.
I think I'd rather have Randle. I think you're crazy for that, but I'm not going to get into an argument with you.
Remember
the
guy in the Green Bay offense?
It doesn't matter. They look to Randle in the red zone.
And that's fine. It depends who gets hurt. What happens when Cobb gets hurt? Then you have to find someone else to look to as well. This is, like you said, he got one call back last week. Another touchdown this week, so we'll see. Anyway, so much time. Another NFC North team, Detroit against Buffalo. No one looked good in this game at all, really. Except for Golden Tate. Promising game from Sammy Watkins. Take another huge day with Calvin Johnson hurt. It doesn't look like Calvin Johnson's going to play this week. It's possible he's out multiple weeks, which just complete disappointment this year thus far, especially after the monster game in week one, which is actually pretty good for owners. It's not the worst news. I mean, he just, at least you don't have to worry about, like, I mean, what did you do? You started him the past 2 weeks because he's been active, and he's done absolutely nothing for you. Now he's going to come back completely healthy. Kind of the opposite of what Roddy White did last year, where he tried to come back too soon, just mediocre throughout the whole year. It just never got to 100%. And Detroit's eventually going to need them. What this does, it hurts Matthew Stafford's overall value, but I think it helps everyone else, mostly Golden Tate. Golden Tate becomes a top 20 wide receiver now.
Higher than that, too.
I'd say maybe top 15. This is two huge games in a row for him. Without Calvin Johnson, they have nobody else to throw the ball to.
Yeah.
So Golden Tate becomes, especially in PPR leagues, just becomes I agree with that, top 15 wide receiver. Reggie Bush gets hurt, doesn't practice today. He's probably not going to play. Does come back to practice, so he's startable. I mean, a tough matchup for both sides of the ball. No one really looked good, but it is probably Kyle Orton looked to Sammy Watkins much more than any other wide receiver. And Fred Jackson got 7 catches as well. But, you know, to a running back, it's as far as wide receivers are concerned, Sammy Watkins by far the best here. And not only do you throw it his way, but Sammy Watkins actually looked good as far as after the catch, just creating separation, holding on to the ball, of course. So,
I mean, so if you know, what we think is going to happen is Drake is going to play and Bush is not, correct, obviously?
Right, and Theo Riddick might come back, but whatever. He'll just step into the Reggie Bush role.
Do we think Drake is a top 15 player, you think? Just for lack of better options, really.
Top
20.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's not missing. No, Ryan, he didn't pass any running backs up, maybe except for Jamal Charles, obviously, but just coming back from a concussion, Minnesota's not the worst run defense.
Eddie Lacy made him look pretty bad last week.
That game was this. Game was what it was. If he finishes top 15 back, I wouldn't be surprised at all. It definitely helps that Reggie Bush isn't there. And without Calvin, I mean, they're going to have to find out other ways to move the ball now. But then again, we haven't seen this offense since last year where Calvin was inactive, and that was the Green Bay game, and they just moved the ball whatsoever. I mean, even when they put in Calvin as a decoy, and trust me, that helps. I mean, as limited as I was at the Jets game, it's a little harder to see on TV, but you could they still line him up with two guys, you know, in mind. And every time he steps on the field, you have to hold him accountable. So,
right.
He definitely opens up the offense for everyone else. Yeah, top 20 definite. I'd obviously have to take a look at the other guys. So,
I mean, unless you got extremely lucky with running backs, you're probably starting at least a flex.
Yeah, well, then again, I mean, you could have picked up any of the three guys you picked up off the
board. All right, let's do that. Would you rather play him? First of all, let's talk about that real quick. The three big guys, Oliver, Andre Williams, and Ronnie Hillman, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think we would rate that. I'm talking about this week only because all three of them are week to week. It depends when their starters come back. But I think we would rank them the same way, but would you rank them Williams, Oliver?
This week,
would you rank them Williams, Oliver, Selman?
This week I'd do Oliver over Williams just because he's going against Oakland and he's pretty much the only guy there. They signed Ronnie Brown and their talent behind doesn't look like it's as good as – I mean, we've only seen Oliver
once. But would you also agree that Hillman's a distant third out of the three?
Yeah, absolutely, just because first of all, I mean, he's had chances before to take over this role and he wasn't that good. And
okay, so we at least agree on that. So would you start – him over, would you start Drake Bell over Hillman this week?
Yeah, that's probably the only one. I like the other guys' situations a little bit better and definitely their matchups.
Right.
Oliver going against Oakland and Williams against
Philly's. Philly's 1D actually isn't all that.
Yeah,
bad.
But if I was just this today, I mean, like we just talked about before the show, Philly, D'Amico Ryans and Michael Kendricks, both their best defensive players didn't practice today.
I mean, here's the thing. Here's my thing about why I think I like him better than Oliver is just that I think he's more likely to get a touchdown. That's just completely based on the fact that, I mean, he still got 20 carries, even though Rashad Jennings played a full pass last week. Looked good doing it, but he did catch two balls, and you know he's going to get all the goal line work. You know, the Chargers just signed Ronnie Brown back. It wouldn't surprise me if Ronnie Brown got a goal line carry. You know, I don't know. Oliver's kind of small.
I think Ronnie Brown's just a safety signing out. I'd be surprised if Donald Brown. Well, he's. I don't know if he's gonna. I know he's hurt, but they say anything about that? There's no way they can go into a game with the undersized Oliver and Ronnie Brown as their only running backs. I'm pretty sure they have someone else too. They signed someone else last week. I don't even know. I mean, that just the fact that they had to sign Ronnie Brown just tells you. I mean, they're going to be counting on Oliver pretty hard. I mean, at least the Giants still have Peyton
Hillis. Yeah.
So
I believe they signed Michael Cox from the practice squad.
There's some pretty solid backups in these discussions.
Huh?
There's some pretty solid backups in these discussions, huh?
Well, Peyton Hillis is on the cover of Madden, jeez.
Speaking of backups from Denver, I mean, this is the reason I don't like Ronnie Hillman as much is because that's the situation where it's going to be the most of a committee with C.J. Anderson, who you think is the backup, but he's more of a similar player to Ronnie Hillman, and I wouldn't be surprised if Juwan Thompson, the third running back, who got a goal.
He didn't practice yesterday, though.
I saw that. I'm just saying, but over the long haul, I mean, Monty Hill should be back in 2-3 weeks. But he's more of the goal line back, so it's tough to judge. But at least, at least we can agree that Ronnie Hillman was the clear number three guy here. Let's move on to the next game, Cleveland, Tennessee.
Sick game. I watched a lot of this game because the Giants were basically over at the time Cleveland was coming back. I'll tell you what. And I know you think I'm biased, but my boy Ben Tate looked good.
Tennessee's defense has been horrible this year.
Just think Cleveland's really good at running the ball.
Yeah, they've always had a pretty decent offense. I mean, like, I guess you could say that, but last year they were so inefficient. I mean, they really lacked force. But I guess they want to run the ball too. It's not like they have many options at wide receiver. I mean, Holt's been okay at best. They just don't have many receivers. Andrew Hawkins, worst game of the year. And That's the, I mean, Austin caught two touchdowns the two previous weeks, but kind of disappeared this game. I mean, so what else do they have? I mean, you have to run the ball, and now they have three.
Yeah, Jordan Cameron does not look good.
Well, from like a, I did not watch this game, so what do you mean, from like a injury perspective, or?
I mean, I like I said, I watched like the fourth quarter of this game. I didn't watch a whole lot of this game, but like, you know, the Cleveland's down and they're kind of like throwing the ball a bunch and stuff like that. And honestly, Jordan Cameron just didn't get a ton of looks for a team that has so little talent at the receiving position, whether it be tight end or wide receiver. You think he would dominate targets, and he just hasn't been.
It's still on his first week back. I mean, give him some slack a little
bit.
Right,
but what I'm saying, basically what I'm getting at is,
he still left the team in targets. Nine.
What I'm saying is, before the year we were talking about, is Jordan Cameron going to be in that elite tier of tight ends? And I think, from what we've seen so far, it's very clear that he's not.
Yeah, the injury clearly holds him back, of course. Other thing worth noting here, Justin Hunter, a big game for him, 99 yards and only three catches, and more importantly, the touchdown. So
I'm not sure if it was a good game as much as a big play.
What?
I'm not sure if it was a good game as much as a big play.
Yeah, well, the 75 yards, but at least they're sort of looking his way, and the coach said, you know, they have to give him the ball more.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, has Justin Hunter become that guy that you're depending on?
No, he's the T.Y. Hilton of 2 years ago.
Okay, and you're depending basically on a big play.
But I think it's still promising. You know, Justin Hunter had huge expectations as far as, you know, a sleeper wide receiver is concerned. So, but this is one of his breakout games. I mean, he had a decent game a few weeks ago. This is kind of what you expected from him. He's not a high volume guy. In the preseason, they said they were going to create plays for him in the red zone. It's just good to see. I mean, if you held on to him for this long, which I have in a couple of leagues, I mean, if you drafted him, you hate to dump the upside, the potential upside of this guy, because the talent's still there. So if they do start using him, I wouldn't feel safe. He's Tennessee playing at Jacksonville. I mean, not a bad matchup. So
No, it's a good matchup.
I mean, they've had inconsistency at quarterback in this game alone. You know, Charlie Whitehurst, I think, had 11 attempts of his own. So once you get one quarterback in there, I mean, maybe it's, oh no, excuse me, Locker had 11 attempts, so Whitehurst was in for more than
halftime, I believe it was.
Yeah, this guy just can't stay healthy.
Yeah, feel bad, because he's not bad when he plays.
Yeah, the situation just sucks for Hunter. I mean, it's hard to get in any of them when the quarterback, he's switching back and forth. I will go on. We talked about Indianapolis playing tonight. Andrew Luck just continues his big year. Not a huge game here, but still over 300 yards. Some more stack field. Just 6 rushes, 4 rushes, 5 rushes. So you never know who's gonna get the majority of the work. So
which is really frustrating, too, isn't it? Because Justin Forsett hasn't been bad when they've given him the work.
It's clear that he's been the best.
Right.
He's been the best out of all of them. And he did get the touchdown here.
Right. So, I mean, I think you agree when I say he's the only one that you would even think about starting.
Right, and if you're in a bind.
Right.
Of course, you could do a lot worse. Pierce, I think Pierce is the third one I'd want in this list, and Talaferro I'd just hold on to just because he's a younger guy and whatever. Maybe they just try to get him the most work at the end of the year.
And I think if somebody turns into a goal line back, it will be Talaferro.
Forsett did get the touchdown here. I'm not sure. I don't recall how long it was. Whether it was a goal line rush or not, still. Steve Smith finally hung back down to earth this game. But then Owen Daniels, the guy who stepped up in his absence. So with Dennis Pitta gone, yeah, it's nice to see that Owen Daniels looks like he's strictly taking his position. So just a deeper tight end if you have to fill someone in this week. Travis Kelce and Jimmy Graham both on bye. So if you're stuck, maybe a free agent guy that you could throw in there. Who's Baltimore playing this week?
Tampa Bay.
All right, so Tampa Bay defense. Just, I'm sorry. Not a good matchup at all. And with Andrew Luck doing as well, it's found that going to happen that the Colts receivers are going to have a nice year. So T.Y. Hilton, he's getting a lot more targets than so far this year than he has in recent years. 12 targets this game, same as Reggie Wayne, but Hilton did
with
it.
He's like fourth or fifth in the league in targets.
Yeah, which is pretty incredible. And we just talked about Justin Hunter. He was T.Y. 3 years ago because T.Y. Hilton would average, four or five targets a game. I mean, I'm just throwing that number out there, but it's got to be close.
Right, and then that 1 week you make that insane play.
Yeah, Dwayne Allen with the touchdown again. I mean, how many weeks?
I kind of like Dwayne Allen. I think he is definitely separating himself from Colby Fleener.
Yeah, I think. Well, that's safe to say Fleener with only one catch here. So, but Allen's been the one getting the touchdowns in this offense. So obviously he trusts him. So. That's another guy. Him and Owen Daniels, both deeper sleepers at the tight end position.
Yeah.
For especially this week for Jimmy Graham owners. Jimmy Graham, I mean, his bye came at a perfect time. He got hurt last week. He should be fine, definitely, with the extra rest. He'll be all right. What else is there to say about this? Vincent Jackson finally goes off. This is kind of what we expected.
Yeah, as soon as Glennon won that game, I'm sorry, won the job, that Vincent Jackson would be better. Although, it is against a terrible, terrible Saints defense. The Saints defense is
But still, it's just whatever, the targets are there, 12 targets. So, and I mean, Mike Evans was out this game, which I guess skewed it a little bit. I mean, who else are you going to throw to? Murphy steps in, number two guy. But whatever, it's just promising for Vincent Jackson owners who've got subpar production throughout the year.
I know they're on a bye this week, so maybe we shouldn't talk about it, but is it time to start worrying about Drew Brees?
You obviously...
He threw the ball 60 times this game, and he still didn't throw that
against
that ball.
Offense. I think we've been worrying about him. This is the kind of same situation, I guess, with Doug Martin, too. Like, all right, good matchup this week. Let's see how he does this week. He'll be fine. Whatever, he'll justify my pick. Not so much. I mean, a lot of people, I thought it was funny, a lot of people dropped Pierre Thomas. I saw in a few leagues, people dropped Pierre Thomas. Now he just goes back. Two touchdowns, one rushing, one receiving, and
eight catches, yeah.
Mark Ingram is expected back soon, probably after the bye, which is definitely going to hurt there.
It hurts Kerry Robinson more than it hurts.
Yeah, he had and Robinson had a nice game too, but still, it'll take away. Now they'll go back to three guys instead. But
yeah, I mean, I don't get how with this. I mean, maybe I'm the only one hurting, but with the state that the running back position is in these days in fantasy football, I don't even understand how you, especially in a PPR league, I don't understand how you drop Pierre Thomas.
Right. I mean, the one I actually picked him up in a non-PPR league, I didn't start him, but it just goes. I mean, it's a deeper league. With a shallow bench. So, I mean, it's obviously worth mentioning when you say he got dropped, but still. That's just how hard he's been struggling. All right, let me see. We'll move on to the next team. You know, I have a caller. Here, take this. I want to text this person. I'm selling a ticket. I want to tell him so I can talk to him about it. You want to take the Giants Falcons game? You could just, love you. I know you're fucking my Ruben Randall and whatnot, so.
Oh, jeez. Let's start with the Falcons because that'll be shorter. Steven Jackson is Steven Jackson. He got the touchdown here, but Steven Jackson has basically become a touchdown-dependent running back. He's, averaged under 3 yards a carry against the Giants defense. He's actually not bad against the run, but at the same time, there's definitely no Seattle defense or anything like that. Matt Ryan turned in a decent game. He threw for over 300 yards and a touchdown. Threw a really bad interception, actually. But, he continues to be in that, low-tier quarterback one in the 7-8-9 range. Julio Jones actually had a monster game here. 16 targets. Roddy White... I mean, I know you're a bigger fan of Roddy White than I am, but, 2 years ago, this was 1A and 1B. I think it's clearly turned into Roddy White. I'm sorry, Julio Jones being one and Roddy White being the number two guy here. You know, he out-targeted Roddy White 4-1, 16-4. So I think it's clear that Julio Jones is the number one guy here.
Devin Hester did nothing this game, so we could stop talking about him, please.
Yeah. What do you think of Antoine Smith?
Nothing. I mean, what are you going to make of this guy? He gets like four touches of the game. It's kind of like, it's just a fluke. I mean, even the most talented player, even if you put Adrian Peterson in this offense and just gave him four touches, chances are he wouldn't have the production that Smith has had. It's just, he's a 29-year-old, like, journeyman backup running back. Don't get me wrong. I mean, you have to obviously have to have some talent here, but he's just not going to get the volume.
Right? I haven't been paying attention.
Him and Devin Hester are the equivalent of each other, where they're going to get four touches a game at their respective position.
Yeah,
and it has to be a big play.
Right, like you said, I haven't obviously watched a lot of Antoine Smith, but I did see him against the Giants. He basically caught a pass in the flat that literally
Andrew Roll missed tackle, and he had a clear shot to the end zone. That's all it was, you know. So I wouldn't suggest picking him up until the Falcons show a bigger, they want to use him more. So let's go over to the Giants, where there's a lot of things to like here, actually. Is Eli a quarterback one?
One? No.
You don't think he's a top 12 quarterback?
That would make him quarterback two. And I guess it depends on what league you're talking about.
I don't play anything.
I don't think he is. He hasn't been for years. This is three good games. Let's not go overboard.
I think he is.
I don't think he's had some.
I don't think he can give me a loving guy you'd rather have over Eli.
If we had him listed, yeah, I can go over it. It's just.
Tom Brady or Eli?
Tom Brady.
Oh, okay. So I don't even think it's close.
There's the fact that I don't think Eli's going to finish.
Cam Newton or Eli?
Newton.
Yeah, I don't think that's close either.
Why? I mean, you're the one who's all over Cam. I don't even like Cam Newton, but I just think
he's not running. He's not healthy. He's not running.
He has no receivers.
Tony Romo or Eli?
Wouldn't be surprised, but definitely Romo.
I don't think that's close. Matt Stafford or Eli?
Stafford.
See, I don't know. I don't think you're making these like they're so easy. I don't think they're.
I think they're very easy.
I don't think so.
I think he's had three good games. Even when Eli was Eli, even when he won two Super Bowls and he was good, he was a Super Bowl winning quarterback. He still wasn't a top ten.
Right, but this is a completely different offense.
He's
throwing the ball at a higher percentage. He's not creating turnovers like he did. He's getting the ball out. He's not getting sacked.
It's past three games been the case. Sure, he could get better every week. It's definitely possible, but I'm just not gonna. This is 4 or 5 years of production that changed my opinion on three games, especially you know against Washington, Atlanta. I mean, these are horrible defenses. What was the other one? Houston. Whatever. It's Houston's a little bit better, but. I just think it's a little more matchup than anything else. We'll see. They have Philly this week, and then they have Dallas. So, you know, he has two more good matchups. So, yeah, maybe he finishes at the top 12 these next 2 weeks. But for the rest of the year, I don't buy it. But then again,
they only have two really tough matchups the rest of the year, and it's Seattle and San Fran, and they're coming back-to-back weeks. I like Eli, but all right. Good. Anyway.
Now, we
talk about the Giants. I mean – Rashad Jennings is starting this game, which is obviously the biggest news. We've already touched up on Andre Williams. I mean, Andre Williams is like a top 10, top 12 guy as long as Jennings is out.
Yeah, not top 12. I mean, just because we got to find another first. Yeah, he's absolutely startable.
I mean, here's the thing.
He's a running back two with running one upside.
I mean, here's the thing. I would have been skeptical, but, you know, he got 20 carries last week with Rashad Jennings playing. The Giants want to run the ball. They run the ball a lot. Like, I don't think I think as long as Jennings is out, I mean, I'm not, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying he's the, you know, the most talented guy in the league. But, you know, the Giants are going to run the ball. He's going to have a lot of opportunities.
Yeah, and I think so as well. It's just whatever. We don't know how talented this guy is. And he's looked okay so far. He's just not as good as Rashad Jennings. We don't know if Hill is going to carry. Right. So that's why he's not a surefire top 12 guy yet.
Right. I'm just saying, in today's day and age of running back, what?
Yeah, I love the matchup.
No, I'm just saying, in today's day and age of running backs, a lot of it is about opportunity and quantity, not quality.
Well, quality's got to be there too, but yeah, you're right.
So that's all I'm saying is I think he's, you know, a guy that's going to get 80% of the carries and probably all the red zone work, you know.
Yeah, but even you're going against Philly, but we can move on to the Philly game. Like I said, their two star linebackers are both didn't practice today, so and that's definitely upgrades to Andre Williams if these guys don't make it. And they played against St. Louis, who Zach Stacy 11 carries didn't look great, and also hurt. They didn't practice today. Something else to monitor. You know, Benny Cunningham is a deep stash and pretty much all leagues. I mean, if he becomes the starting running back in this offense, who's St. Louis playing this week? What's their matchup?
St. Louis is playing San Fran Monday night.
That's a little rough then, because you're not going to. I mean, if you have Zach
Stacy, you know, I mean,
don't Cunningham at this point.
I mean, no. I mean, you're tough to say.
You have to start here the Monday night. What if he doesn't play? So you have to own Benny Cunningham. You have to own Cunningham. Brian Quick, another big game here. Two touchdowns.
Yeah, he's a top 20 guy.
Yeah, and even Kenny Britt with a touchdown, nice. So, this is more Austin Davis is. I wouldn't say he's legit, but he's a, you know, top. Definitely a quarterback, too. I wouldn't feel horrible about starting him the way I would.
Would you rather start Austin Davis or Reva?
No, I wouldn't rather start Austin Davis. But Austin Davis passed up a few people, in my mind. Like, you know, maybe.
I don't know, man.
Definitely. I'm at lower end.
They're getting blown out. He's just chucking the ball all around.
But at least he's capable. I mean, this is
if they're not getting blown out, I don't think he's throwing the ball all over the place.
I don't like him. What I mean is I feel better about starting him as a quarterback, too, than I did 2 weeks ago. So I said, I mean, and give this guy the highest praise. But, you know, he's got decent weapons. At least he has a number one receiver now. And who else? Like, for instance, let me go down the list. Guys you'd rather start. I mean, who would you rather –
I just got a question from a friend on who she thinks should start, Andre Johnson or T.Y. Hilton today.
Hilton.
I think so, too.
I think Hilton. Who is this?
Christina.
Let's get out of here.
I get more questions about that than anything else.
I remember being asked those questions. Yeah, it's just the most ridiculous.
Various members of the league, yeah.
What do you expect? Anything else big from this game? Macklin, another big game, top 15 guy, potentially, actually top 10 at this point. He's produced at top 10.
Especially in the PPR. He's just getting every target there.
Yeah, he is. Throwing the ball, definitely throwing the ball enough for him. McCoy, at least, you know, the four catches, 24 rushes, did okay. Also fumbled, but it's still better than he's been. But, again, you still got to worry about LeSean McCoy a little bit. Chicago, Carolina. What take from this game? Huh?
Jay Cutler is a much better fantasy player than he is an NFL player. He gave this game away.
Well, I think we knew that.
Yeah.
Okay. But he's also inconsistent. So it's the same as Matt Forte this year. Again, not a, he did have 12, except for the 12 receptions for Forte. Never mind.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Forte put up six numbers.
Wow. I'm just looking at his rushing. Yeah, I didn't watch this game at all. 12 catches and all 12 targets. Jesus.
Yeah, the highest scoring running back of the second highest scoring running back of the week.
Not bad. You know, Alshon Jeffery had a nice game here, too.
Yeah, I believe Forte had a receiving touchdown, too.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, no, in a full point PPR in my league, he put up, I believe it was like 34 points.
That's incredible. not but pretty decent. Against the Carolina defense, I mean, they're not the same defense they were last year. They're still pretty good. Brandon Marshall has a few weeks now where he's been struggling.
Did you see the report that came out today about Brandon Marshall?
He said he was like, he was supposed to miss more time or something.
He said he was supposed to miss 4 weeks, but he convinced the Bears doctors to let him play through it.
Yeah, why would you even say that? He's just an idiot. Whatever. Lower, clearly, and his production is showing that.
Right.
So I would expect this for maybe for one or two more weeks. You don't just...
Once the Bears buy, it's week 9. I mean, he's going to be fully healthy till week 9. Or week 10.
Yeah, that'll actually be... kind of wish his buy was sooner, just so he'd be forced to take a week off. Until then, and I love what this does for Alshon Jeffery.
Yeah.
He's been great as long as Marshall.
I mean, until the bye, I look kind of like Alshon over Marshall, don't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Because I don't think he's going to be.
Did you just trade away Alshon in the league?
What's that?
Did you just trade away Alshon in the league?
No, I tried to.
Ah.
you got the deal instead.
Yeah.
I still like Alshon, just like what I was getting better in return. Pittsburgh, Jacksonville. Le'Veon Bell, 15 carries, 82 yards. He's just been solid every single week. You know, game, but still, he got his 5 receptions, which talked about in the beginning.
Yeah, kind of disappointing against Jacksonville, though, I thought.
Yeah. But, I mean, like I said, he still got the 5 catches.
Right.
Disappointing. Andre Brown got his 5 catches, only 84 yards. But, Antonio Brown.
You confused me. I was like, Andre Brown. I'm like, why should you be disappointed in Andre Brown?
Is he even on the team anymore? they spread the ball around a ton here, but yeah. Brown obviously just dominated the targets. For Jacksonville, okay, Hart again. So, Todman didn't even get a touch. Mark Robinson, and Storm Johnson. With 4. So who's Storm Johnson? A rookie? They're just giving up this. They're starting all these on offense. Looks like I might as well throw in Blake Bortles, quarterback, Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns, Marquise Lee. When he
Storm
comes
Johnson
back.
Is actually Blake Bortles' college teammate.
This is, why not? Just throw everyone in there and just see what they could do. Whatever. Season's practically over anyway. Might as well bomb the season and just another good draft pick.
Might as well just find out what you have in Storm Johnson.
Right, and this is, the two rookie wide receivers I mentioned before, both 11 targets for both Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns. None of them did great with Mitch. It's hard for any of these guys, of course. Like Bortles, it's hard to blame him just because he has such a lack of weapons. He didn't look good anyway. 2 interceptions. 60% I'm throwing, but what do you see anyone from this offense? Like Storm Johnson in a deeper league, Allen Robinson maybe. Yeah, if you needed to, he's the wide receiver I'd want to play.
No, I'm just saying I'm not starting Storm Johnson. I don't feel good about it. If you want to pick him up in a deeper league, that's fine.
Yeah, not that I feel confident about starting him, but it's, I don't know, such a boring team to talk about. Whatever, move on. Arizona, Denver, it looks like Carson Palmer and Houston are both in a practice today. This is going to be another week for them. Logan Thomas, rookie, has been taking all the first reps in practice this week. Matchup at home against Washington, you could do worse, I suppose. Not that I love it, but
I really hope Carson Palmer plays.
It doesn't look well. But
he's just killing. Palmer's just killing. I don't want to say killing my one team because I still like my team. But in a 2 quarterback league, and I drafted Palmer as my quarterback 3, and I've since traded away Matt Stafford. So he's just killing Michael Floyd and my quarterback 2 spot. So
yeah, and Stanton's just hurting the receivers, and Logan Thomas, trust me, is not going to help.
No.
Making his first ever start.
You know how you always say people are good in college? Logan Thomas was not good in college.
Logan Thomas, that's a different situation. I mean, you were still good in college.
Like, no.
And
he just has a huge arm. That's why he got drafted.
Yeah, big body, good feet. The guy, talent-wise, you can argue he's a top 10. Like, if Ryan Fitzpatrick had Logan Thomas's body, he'd be a top 5 quarterback. And we just talked about how subpar Ryan Fitzpatrick is. Logan Thomas is the arm, the feet, the strength. I mean, he's just has all the tools. He's just
not accurate.
Not accurate. Not good. He's just not good. I mean, he just can't put it together.
I think a month or two ago, they were thinking about making him a tight end. That tells you all you need to know.
It kind of reminded me of I'm not going to bring him up, but I was going to say Ryan Mallett, but he's
Marcus Russell. How about that?
Almost. Yeah, I suppose. I guess so. They have the same qualities, of course. Anyway, talking about the running backs we touched on, Monty Ball hurt. So Ryan Kimmel gets 15 carries here. Ball left early, and no one else got more than three, which was Juwan Thompson. But I believe C.J. Anderson was a healthy scratch this game, which he's going to play the next game. He's going to take Monty Ball's spot, so that situation's going to change a little bit. Just only had two healthy running backs. Ball went down. Demaryius Thomas had a huge game. They threw the ball a lot more with Monty Ball getting hurt and Emmanuel Sanders continuing his production, even with Wes Welker coming back. I mean, Welker got the 9 targets, which is something I was worried about when it comes to Sanders, but clearly that didn't affect him at all. I mean, Peyton still threw the ball 47 times and sort of in a blowout. So this is kind of what they do. But then again, you can't expect that every game either. Especially with Ronnie Hillman, essentially he's good, supposedly being taking over the lead back position. He's a better running back, or he's a better receiving back, Monty Ball. So maybe he'll take a few touches away. Julius Thomas on pace for a record-breaking touchdown production season.
Let me ask you a serious question. Do you play Monty Ball, Jimmy, right now?
No, Jimmy's still much better. He can't sustain this.
I think on a weekly basis, I do.
He can't. He's obviously closed the gap, but just from a talent.
Well, before the season, we said there's Jimmy, then there's Thomas and Gronk, and then there's everybody else, right?
Yeah.
Is he in the same tier as Jimmy now?
Yeah, probably. He's definitely above Gronk. Definitely above Gronk. Where that was,
Gronk is starting to get healthy now. I don't think we've seen the real Gronk. Come back to me in 2 or 3 weeks, and let's see where Gronk is.
Yeah, he's off the injury report, which is definitely promising. Tom Brady had his by far best game, well, first good game of the year, which is important.
Let's not forget that Gronk has had the best tight end season ever.
He's what?
This is the guy that's had the best tight end season ever.
Yeah, it did, but he just can't stay healthy, and that's kind of the case too. It's almost like he aged quicker than all players do. He got old pretty quick, I mean, with injuries, and it just looks slower. But still, he's still a top 3 guy, of course, but definitely don't trust him as much. So to your point, Julius Thomas closing the gap on Jimmy. I put him number 2, Gronk 3. What do you do with who's number 4?
Last week I would have said Larry Donnell, but
I knew that was coming. Damn it, I should have said.
As of right now, I'd probably say Martellus Bennett.
Yeah, Bennett had a slow week. In terms of points, I think Delanie Walker might be up there.
Greggy?
I think Delanie. I don't mind.
I think Greg has more points. Greg had 2 touchdowns last week. Delanie didn't do anything.
Yeah, I'm not even sure. It's kind of a crapshoot. It's definitely a cloudier situation.
I would have said 1 second if you want.
Yeah, you look it up. Yeah, just do that. And just use in that area. Maybe we could figure it out. I'll go on to the Jets-Chargers game where there's really nothing to talk about besides the emergence of Brandon Oliver, which we discussed before. So Donald Brown, I don't think he's going to play this week.
I hope not.
That's why I think Darren Oliver's a top 10 running back play that just for this week. Just this week, Antonio Gates with 2 touchdowns, which is nice. I mean, as we're talking about tight ends, but he did this a couple of weeks ago and then did nothing for a few weeks in a row. So he's pretty inconsistent. But still, I'd put him in top 10, lower end. But
this week, I think Gates has become touchdown dependent.
Right, but I still think that makes him a low-end tight end one. I mean, there's not many of these guys.
This can't be right.
But
oh, never mind, because Julius has had his bye, right?
He had his bye.
Has had his bye.
Yeah.
No, like I said, I thought Julius should definitely be ahead of Jimmy in points scored.
Oh, he's not, even with that?
No, Jimmy, then Bennett, then Thomas, then Greg.
Who's is there a close fifth?
Yeah. So Jimmy and Bennett both have 87. Thomas has 84. Greg has 83. Delaney has 80. Luke has 78. And then there's a drop-off.
Yeah, so but Gates, like, what is he, 5 touchdowns? Do you have it right there?
Gates has 5 touchdowns.
Which is probably more than the other guys except for Julius.
Yes, it is.
So that's kind of how he got up there.
Well,
I mean, still, whatever.
That's
part of the team.
Touchdown dependent.
Right. Anyway, this is part of the reason for this is the injury to Vernon Davis, who again didn't play in the San Francisco on Kansas City, which
boy, if you wasted a high draft pick on Vernon Davis, what a waste, huh?
Yeah, and it's possible he misses time again. Is it a lower back injury? They're just we talked about it last week. They're just so tricky. So it's a tough situation, and hopefully you picked up. And Travis Kelce didn't look great here for the team. He did get the touchdown, which is worth noting, but you know, he's still number one target. He really is. And Fasano got more targets, but I think that was more of a San Francisco just paying more attention to Kelce. But Charles looked okay. I guess that's it. I mean, Frank Gore, 18 rushes for 107 yards, which is good for him, one of his better games of the year. But still, you worry. I mean, not only did Carlos Hyde get the 10 rushes, so catching up to Gore, but Colin Kaepernick also ran the ball 10 times, too, which takes away from the production of both of them. Other than that, I mean, highest receiver in the team with 4 catches? Pedestrian.
Yeah, this is kind of like a game.
Meh.
Yeah.
Cincinnati, New England. As I mentioned before, Tom Brady finally had it here. Still isn't
even Brady. I did want to ask you a question.
So,
who do you think is a more boring fantasy team to talk about, the Jets or the Jaguars?
Jets or the Jaguars? Probably
the Jets right?
Just because, like...
At least the Jaguars guys are young.
The only thing you're talking about with the Jets is whether Eric Decker's hurt or not. Like Jacksonville's, like, they're kind of, like...
They could have a startable guy in, like, 2 or 3 weeks, I feel like.
They're just like, yeah, whatever. I mean, they're... Who starts that? Like I said, they're going to start 4 rookies. When's the last time that happened?
I feel like one of those wide receivers can kind of emerge and become a startable guy. Maybe Storm Johnson. Like, Chris Ivy and Chris Johnson are what they are.
I don't know. If it's going to be anyone, I don't think it's going to be Storm Johnson just because they're more of a committee. You're right. These guys could do it. I mean, Allen Hurns probably had a pretty good year. He's had a decent amount of touchdowns, and everyone else has sort of been hurt. So, like I said, Allen Robinson, I'd like to own there, but anyway, what a terrible question, because you can force us to talk about the two boring teams.
I don't want to do. Also, another thing, Justin Forsett is fifth in running back scoring right now.
Forsett is fifth in running back scoring? How? I can't be right. How is he a buff? I know there's a few injuries and stuff. He can't be above Rashad Jennings.
Yes.
Justin Forsett. I don't believe that.
In a PPR league, in a full PPR, my league, in a PPR league, yeah.
I don't believe that one bit. That doesn't make any sense. Barely even played.
The only guys he gets on ahead of, DeMarco Murray, Matt Forte, Le'Veon Bell, and Marshawn Lynch.
How is that even possible? How many catches does he have?
23.
What is, like...
He's got 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. I'd never absolutely.
I mean, if Rashad Jennings had 23 catches, he would be ahead of him. He's less than 10 points behind him. But
I'm trying to think of like.
Like Gio Bernard. Oh, well, they haven't had a bye yet either, don't forget. So he's had a guy like Gio Bernard. I mean, not points per game.
No, but still, I mean, that's still surprising me. Anyway, I mean, Bernard didn't have a great game here, but he's been pretty consistent every week. Ridley with another, Ridley with a nice game here, sort of Vereen. So it's a week-to-week basis with these New England running backs, and they're both playing pretty equally right now, which kind of sucks for both owners because none of them is going to take over, completely take over. I mean, at least Vereen's getting his touches, now rushing the ball, and still three catches,
right.
Receiving and with. You see, big news here, AJ Green gets hurt from a multi-week injury. Definitely not going to play this week.
Well, yeah, he had the setback, so.
Yeah, Marvin Jones not going to play this week also. So this is terrible news for one owners. I'd rather start Austin Davis than Andy Dalton this week.
Maybe this week.
Definitely this week, yeah.
Carolina's even good, though.
They're still, it's not a good matchup either. Just whatever. It's just even without AJ Green, it's the same. Like, Muhammad Sanu becomes a number one receiver.
You're going to start Eli over End Dalton?
Yeah, I would think about that anyway. I mean, not that I like Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton was never a top 12 quarterback to begin with, as far as I'm concerned. Just because he finished that way. I mean, you could say Justin Forsett's a top 5 running back. Maybe you got to deal with injuries.
It sure is.
So, New England. Ron Gronkowski, we talked about him. 6 receptions, 100 yards, and a touchdown. And second in the team receiving, Tim Wright, the other tight end who we talked about and came over in the trade for Logan Mankins. Did I say his name correctly? Screw that one. Belichick loves him. He's getting more work. I mean, it's only a matter of time. They don't have many options here. Tim Wright, I wouldn't hate starting him. Love it. He's still a tight end, too. But like I said, this is Jimmy Graham and Kelsey gone. So if you have to pick up a guy, look for Tim Wright in that league. Go do it right now, actually, we're talking about. He's definitely not a terrible option.
I mean,
score the touchdown here. As long as they're going to look to him more, Brady's playing Buffalo, so it's not the best matchup. But then again, Ebron should have had a touchdown for Detroit against Buffalo last week. So,
I mean, you want me to tell you where Tim Wright is?
No, I know he hasn't. No. I'm saying we could pick him up in that week. We get tight end. Don't you have Jimmy Graham on the bye?
I was hoping we could pick Tim Wright up on that. No one else holds.
Well, let's consider it. I mean, Belichick had nice things to say about Tim Wright this week.
Okay.
Good to know. We're on the last game. We got Comps calling in this week.
Yeah, I'm gonna call him right now.
Text him right now. We'll talk about Washington, which was a closer game we thought. There was gonna be another blowout in prime time.
So much to talk about here though.
Yeah, well, Kirk Cousins, not a bounce back game, but it shows that he could still be competent, which is kind of what I expected. It was just a fluke. He was just chucking the ball up against the Giants, threw way too many interceptions. But Deshaun Jackson had a nice game here.
Oh, wow. Tim Wright's available in that league. Sweet.
Who else are we gonna start?
I'd rather take a chance on Luke Wilson.
Why?
He's playing Dallas.
Luke Wilson is. I mean, this guy
might not see a target.
I'm faster than Luke Wilson.
Maybe not.
The guy, he's extremely slow. He's a big body. I mean, I get.
At least he starts. At least he's the tight end one on his team.
Yeah, but you can say, I mean, if Tim Wright takes that Aaron Hernandez role, then
he's not Aaron Hernandez, so that's a problem.
No. Well, I don't even know where to go with this. I mean, you say, so Luke Wilson's now the starter because Zach Miller's hurt, and even Zach Miller, who's supposedly better than Wilson, which is probably the reason why he was starting, is not a good option either. So, whatever. Well, I think we have Constantine, who says nothing really nothing else to talk about in this game. Except I'd rather Kirk Cousins than Eli Manning.
Oh, God, that's horrible. I'm not going to. Cops. Give me Tom.
Yeah, definitely. Where is Const? Const bit. Tom's on right now.
All right, we're back with another edition of Conscious Picks, and in case you were, you know, you kept pressing the snooze button, I came through with my guarantee, like I said I was going to do, and we had a 5-2 week. You know, the only reason we didn't go 7-0 is an awful pick six by the rookie quarterback Blake Bortles, and then the Saints was just, you know, I don't know what that was, giving up 24 unanswered points to Tampa Bay, but I digress. We went 5-2, like I said we would. And because we went 5-2, we're going to add a bonus game. And we're going to pick 8 games this week instead of 7. All right, let's kick things off. The first game, we're going to go with the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo, +3.5 over the New England Patriots. Yes, I know the Patriots looked like the Patriots last week. But the fact of the matter is, it's the only complete game they've played this season. And the Bills are coming off a very good win, and, you know, even though it was without Calvin Johnson, the Lions are still a formidable team. You know, they fought from behind. They won the game. I think they have some momentum now. They always play the Patriots close in Buffalo. I think, I don't know if the Bills will win, but if they lose, it'll be a field goal game. Take the Bills, +3.5. Game number two, the other team we saw Sunday night, the Cincinnati Bengals, -6.5 over the Carolina Panthers. Listen, I know the Bengals looked god-awful last Sunday night, but I think they're going to bounce back. They're a very good home team. I think the defense is going to frustrate Cam Newton. You know, Andy Dalton will have a much – and by the way, I know A.J. Green got hurt, but even without him, I think they're going to cover the spread. Carolina, they're such a Jekyll and Hyde team. You know, they got lucky with the comeback against Chicago last week. I think they come back to earth this week. They're just not that good. Cincinnati, lay the 6.5. Game number three, a bit of a curveball. We're going to go with the Miami Dolphins, +3.5 over the Green Bay Packers. Yes, I know the Packers are on a roll, but the Dolphins are coming off a bye week. They had 2 weeks to prepare, and believe it or not, they're a very good home team when they play against good teams. They beat the Patriots earlier in the year, week one. I really think the Dolphins are going to play a very good game. Green Bay's defense is not good. I don't know if they'll win, but they'll cover the field goal spread. There's going to be a lot of close games this week. Miami with the 3.5. All right, here we go. Game number four. We go to Minnesota. I'm taking the Vikings. Sorry, Cousin Mo. Vikings +3 over the Lions. Listen, let's be honest. Last week, you know, granted it was only their kicker's fault because he went 0-for-3 on field goals. That was an awful, awful loss. The Lions should be blowing out Buffalo at home, let alone with a quarterback who made his first start in about 2 years. I just think, you know, the troubles are going to snowball. Calvin Johnson's not going to play this week. You know, it'll be, I mean, the Vikings defense, isn't, I mean, they should be embarrassed about what happened last week. But let's not forget, 2 weeks ago, they beat the Falcons at home by, I believe it was 13 points. I think the Vikings, you don't even need the 3 points. I think they're going to beat the Lions. Teddy Bridgewater, I believe, is starting. And I think the Vikings are going to win this game. The Lions struggle without Calvin Johnson. Take the Vikings. All right, here we go. Game number five. We go to Monday Night Football. The St. Louis Rams getting 3.5 over the San Francisco 49ers. Yes, the Rams aren't a very good team, but let's be honest, neither are the 49ers. You know, they scratched and clawed their way by Kansas City last week. I think Colin Kaepernick's going to have a very rough time in the Dome. The Rams have a pretty decent defense. I think the Rams are going to win the game, but take the 3.5 points. It's Monday night. St. Louis crowd's going to be pumped up. Take the Rams. All right, we're almost done here, folks. Game number six, we go to Cleveland, where, believe it or not, I'm going to take the Cleveland Browns getting 1.5 over the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's going to be a very tight game. I just think the Browns coming off of last week's win, Brian Hoyer is a very good quarterback. You know, it's a very tough place of environment to play in Cleveland. I think Big Ben, I mean, look, the Steelers beat the Jaguars by one possession. I mean, and it was because of a pick six that they got gift wrapped. The Steelers are not that good. I think the Browns defense is going to, you know, hold Big Ben. The Browns are going to win a close one, take the Browns. All right, here we go. Game number seven. We go to Philadelphia, Sunday Night Football. I'm taking the New York Football Giants +2.5 over the Eagles. Listen, I'm just going to explain it how it is. The Eagles are a fraud, you know, to allow that St. Louis team back in the game at home a team that they're much better than, you know, it just didn't impress me at all. The Giants have had quality victories. They've defeated the Falcons, you know, they were down 13-10, then they snapped them up the rest of the game. They destroyed the Redskins in Washington the week before. I think they're on a roll, and the most important reason, to be honest, who are we taking in the primetime game, Eli Manning or Nick Foles? I'll take the two-time Super Bowl champion, Eli. Take the Giants. They're going to win this game outright, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's by double digits. All right, we're almost done. The last game tonight, Thursday Night Football, I'm going to take the Texans +3 against the Colts. You know, on paper, you think, wait, Cons, what are you, crazy? No, I'm not crazy, because here's the thing about the Colts. Historically, on the road, their defense, and especially against Houston, their run defense is just porous. You know, they're going to try to stack the box. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to have an opportunity with one-on-one coverage with his receivers, Mr. Andre Johnson and DeAndre Hopkins. At home, the crowd's going to be pumped up. Andrew Luck will score some points, but I'm expecting like somewhere around like a 24-20 game. I like the Texans tonight. Take the Texans with the 3 points. And one more time, we're going to run through all 8 of the picks. Bills, +3.5 over the Patriots. Bengals, -6.5 over the Panthers. The Dolphins, +3.5 over the Packers. The Giants, +2.5 over the Eagles. The Vikings, +3 over the Lions. The Rams, +3.5 over the Niners. The Browns, +1.5 over the Steelers. And last but not least, tonight's game, Texans, +3 over the Colts. Check back with me. I'm guaranteeing another winning week. 5-3 minimum. Write it down. Get those bets in. Cousin Mo, take it away. I'm out of breath.
All right, Cos, it's actually okay. I got to tell you, I can't agree with you more on all the picks except one. I think you know which one I have a problem with, right?
I think you're going to say Miami or Buffalo.
No. I actually love both those picks. I love Miami to run the ball on the Packers, and I like Buffalo to get a lot of pressure on Tom Brady. Remember me and you booked up hammered on the Rams last year. I believe it was
you
Monday.
You know, I do
football.
Remember that, but hey, this kid is a lot better than Sam Bradford.
Yeah, I mean, that remains to be seen. I think we'll see. I think the 49ers are starting to get healthy. I think they're going to handle the Rams, but
I mean,
that,
even
like
I think the Rams usually play them pretty close, but we'll see. I mean, it'll be interesting. Put it this way, if the Rams fall behind, I don't expect them to come back, but if they get ahead, I think the Niners are going to struggle to come back because, let's be honest, Colin Kaepernick's just not very good.
Right. So, all right, well, Colin, thanks for your picks.
Solid input.
Cousin Mo, you didn't commend me on my 5-2 week yet.
Actually, I've been all night just editing my teams and making sure I have my players in for the week. I'm completely distracted. I got a lot going on.
Fair enough.
Good job on the 5-2 week. Thanks for
stopping
by.
Good job as always.
Cons, we put trust in your picks, of course. Yeah, that's of course. I've been distracted by hockey season. So opening night of the Devils, my favorite team. Anyway, all right, we got the Devils on. Got football starting in less than 20 minutes, about 20 minutes. Good luck in all your games this week, and we'll catch you next Thursday. We